236 years ago today, the U.S. thumbed its nose at King George and declared its independence from Great Britain. Today, we celebrate Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Independence. That's what this holiday is all about. But this country's balanced on a teetering stack of thousands of documents, some we know intimately, some have been forgotten by all but time and historians. Hundreds of years ago, in the 1700s, the father of our country, George Washington, wrote to a Jewish congregation in Newport, Rhode Island, and laid down what he thought of as the essentials of religious freedom. Here's an excerpt from that letter.
All possess alike liberty of conscience and immunities of citizenship. It is now no more that toleration is spoken of, as if it was by the indulgence of one class of people that another enjoyed the exercise of their inherent natural rights. For, happily, the government of the United States, which gives to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance, requires only that they who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens in giving it, on all occasions, their effectual support.
For the last decade, that letter had been lost. It was hidden from view in a warehouse in Maryland, but it's since been recovered with the help of the Jewish Forward. It's the largest independent Jewish newspaper in the country, and it's now on display at the National Museum of American Jewish History in Philadelphia. Jane Eisner is the Forward's editor-in-chief. She was instrumental in getting that letter on display, and she joins us today in studio. Thanks so much for being with us on this holiday.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Happy July 4th.
And to you as well. First of all, what was the occasion of George Washington writing this letter to the congregation in Rhode Island?
Well, he, as the new president, he was visiting a lot of different states. Rhode Island was instrumental in ratifying the Constitution, so he wanted to say thank you in person. And he went there in August of 1790. Moses Satius, who was the head of a small Jewish congregation in Newport, Rhode Island, wrote a letter to the president. A lot of people wrote letters to the presidents in those days, saying how pleased he was that Washington was president, and in particular, how grateful he was for the liberties that he felt the Jewish community enjoyed in this new country. Washington writes back to Satius, to some degree almost parroting some of the words that Satius used, but because it came from the new president, set down this this idea of religious tolerance and liberty that really had never been enunciated in such a dramatic fashion. And that's why the letter, I think, is so important.
And that really is what sets it apart. I mean, George Washington wrote a lot of letters.
He did.
many presidents have. But this one has been set aside because he was writing to Jews or because of the comments he made about religious tolerance?
I think it was the latter. He wrote letters to Lutherans. He wrote letters to lots of different groups that were considered minority religions at that time. I think that, and historians certainly agree, that it is the eloquence of the words that he used that we just heard so beautifully spoken that set this letter apart from all the others.
And, I mean, obviously, religious tolerance, the drawing line between church and state and the American government has a big topic of discussion lately. We've heard a lot of people wanting to bring Christian values into the Constitution. And I wonder what you think George Washington laid out here. Was he saying something specific about the function of government in relation to religion?
Well, let's first put it in a little bit of context. I mean, just a couple of years prior to this letter, the Constitution was ratified. There's a small little section of the Constitution that most people overlook, but I think is just among the most important. And it says, there shall be no religious test for public office. And that was an extraordinary statement for the founders to write at that time. This was the only really government in the world that was allowing this kind of freedom. And so Washington's letter, I think, built on that concept, other concepts of liberty that were written by Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. And so they were making this up, you know, this bunch of waspy founding fathers were making up a country that was going to welcome all sorts of people. Now, this was still a very flawed country, as we know at the time that Washington is penning these gorgeous words. He also owned slaves. So they were flawed, complicated men, but they were figuring it out. And that's one of the things that he does here. And I think the fact that he wrote it to a small Jewish congregation is almost incidental to the fact that he was giving voice to this idea that, as we just heard, we're not just going to tolerate you as if that's an indulgence. You're allowed to be here. You're allowed to be who you are. And we're not going to preside over a government that is going to be bigoted, that is going to persecute. And that was so unusual for that day. My goodness, it's unusual for today.
Yeah. How did it go missing for so long?
Well, it was owned by a foundation, the Morris Morgenstern Foundation. Morris Morgenstern was a self-made Jewish businessman who purchased the letter from the descendants of Moses Satius, from the descendants of the person from Newport. And it had been displayed in a small museum in Washington that was run by B'nai B'rith International. When that museum closed in 2002, they took the most important artifacts from the museum and put them all in an art storage facility in Maryland, which was the safe and proper thing to do, except they didn't tell anybody that's where they were. And a very enterprise reporting who works for the Forward, a reporter named Paul Berger, had heard from the most eminent American Jewish historian that even he did not know where the letter was. And, you know, that's all you have to do is tell a reporter that they don't know something.
Right.
And he just went on the trail and he tracked it down. And I'd like to believe, I think it's fair to say, that our reporting, his stories, my editorials, continually drove home the point that this needs to be in the public. And happily now it is.
Yeah, it's at the National Museum of American Jewish History in Philadelphia. You know, we're right. It's the 4th of July. We're writing a letter to America today. Jane, do you have a sentence to add if you were going to write a letter to our future leaders? What would you hope for?
I would actually hope for a lot more civility and respect among people. I think that the kinds of sentiments that Washington expressed in this letter ought to be expressed by all of us.
Jane Eisner, editor-in-chief of The Forward. It's the nation's largest independent Jewish-American newspaper. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy 4th.
It is my pleasure. Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.